Today is the 26th day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. I am thrilled and honored and very, very grateful to be here with you today around the global campfire as we gather again and take our next step forward on the journey that is currently the journey through the book of 2 Samuel and the reign of King David. Today, 2 Samuel chapters 9, 10, and 11. Then David asked, "Is anyone still left from the family of Saul, so that I may extend kindness to him for the sake of Jonathan?" Now there was a servant from Saul's house named Ziba. So he was summoned to David. The king asked him, "Are you Ziba?" He replied, "At your service." The king asked, "Is there not someone left from Saul's family that I may extend God's kindness to him?" Ziba said to the king, "One of Jonathan's sons is left. Both of his feet are crippled." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba told the king, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed low with his face toward the ground. David said, "Mephibosheth." He replied, "Yes, at your service." David said to him, "Don't be afraid, because I will certainly extend kindness to you for the sake of Jonathan, your father. I will give back to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will be a regular guest at my table." Then Mephibosheth bowed and said, "Of what importance am I, your servant, that you show regard for a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's attendant, and said to him, "Everything that belonged to Saul and to his entire house I hereby give to your master's grandson. You will cultivate the land for him, you and your sons and your servants. You will bring its produce, and it will be food for your master's grandson to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will be a regular guest at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do everything that my lord the king has instructed his servant to do." So Mephibosheth was a regular guest at David's table, just as though he were one of the king's sons. Now Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth was living in Jerusalem, for he was a regular guest at the king's table, but both his feet were crippled. Later, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him. David said, "I will express my loyalty to Hanun, son of Naash, just as his father was loyal to me." So David sent his servants with a message expressing sympathy over his father's death. When David's servants entered the land of the Ammonite officials said to their lord Hanun, "Do you really think David is trying to honor your father by sending these messengers to express his sympathy? No, David has sent his servants to you to get information about the city and spy on it so they can overthrow it." So Hanun seized David's servants and shaved off half of each one's beard. He cut the lower part of their robes off so that their buttocks were exposed, and then sent them away. Messengers told David what had happened, so he sent them to the men who were thoroughly humiliated. The king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown again. Then you may come back." When the Ammonites realized that David was disgusted with them, they sent and hired 20,000 foot soldiers from Aram Bet Rehob and Aram Zobah, in addition to 1,000 men from the king of Maacah and 12,000 men from Ishtob. When David heard the news, he sent Joab and the entire army to meet them. The Ammonites marched out and were deployed for battle at the entrance of the city gates, while the men from Aram Zobah, Rahob, Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle would be fought on two fronts, he chose some of Israel's best men and deployed them against the Arameans. He put his brother Abishai in charge of the rest of the army, and they were deployed against the Ammonites. Joab said, "If the Arameans start to overpower me, you come to my rescue. If the Ammonites start to overpower you, I will come to your rescue. Be strong. Let's fight bravely for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what he decides is best." So Joab and his men marched out to do battle with the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw the Arameans flee, they fled before his brother Abishai and went into the city. Joab withdrew from fighting the Ammonites and returned to Jerusalem. When the Arameans realized that they had been defeated by Israel, they consolidated their forces. Then Hadadezer sent for Arameans from beyond the Euphrates River, and they came to Helam. Shobach, the general in command of Hadadezer's army, led them. When David was informed, he gathered all Israel, crossed the Jordan River, and came to Helam. The Arameans deployed their forces against David and fought with him. The Arameans fled before Israel. David killed 700 Aramean charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers. He also struck down Shobach, the general in command of the army, who died there. When all the kings who were subject to Hadadezer saw they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and became subjects of Israel. The Arameans were no longer willing to help the Ammonites. In the spring of the year, at the time when kings normally conduct wars, David sent out Joab with his officers and the entire Israelite army. They defeated the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed behind in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Now, this woman was very attractive. So David sent someone to inquire about the woman. The messenger said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent some messengers to get her. She came to him, and he went to bed with her. Now at that same time, she was in the process of purifying herself from her menstrual uncleanness. Then she returned to her home. The woman conceived, and then sent word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." So David sent a message to Joab that said, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked about how Joab and the army were doing and how the campaign was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your home and relax." When Uriah left the palace, the king sent a gift to him. But Uriah stayed at the door of the palace with all the servants of his lord. He did not go down to his house. So they informed David, "Uriah has not gone down to his house." So David said to Uriah, "Haven't you just arrived from a journey? Why haven't you gone down to your house?" Uriah replied to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah reside in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and my lord's soldiers are camping in the open field. Should I go to my house to eat and drink and go to bed with my wife? As surely as you are alive, I will not do this thing." So David said to Uriah, "Stay here another day. Tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem both that day and the following one. Then David summoned him. He ate and drank with him and got him drunk. But in the evening he went out to sleep on his bed with the servants of his lord. He did not go down to his own house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, "Station Uriah at the front in the thick of the battle, and then withdraw from him, so he will be cut down and killed." So as Joab kept watch on the city, he stationed Uriah at the place where he knew the best enemy soldiers were. When the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, some of David's soldiers fell in battle. Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent a full battle report to David. He instructed the messenger as follows: "When you finish giving the battle report to the king, if the king becomes angry and asks you, 'Why did you go so close to the city to fight? Didn't you realize they would shoot from the wall? Who struck down Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone down on him from the wall so that he died in Thebez? Why did you go so close to the wall?' Just say to him, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.'" So the messenger departed. When he arrived, he informed David of all the news that Joab had sent with him. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and attacked us in the field, but we forced them to retreat all the way to the door of the city gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's soldiers died. Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." David said to the messenger, "Tell Joab, don't let this thing upset you. There is no way to anticipate whom the sword will cut down. Press the battle against the city and conquer it. Encourage him with these words." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband Uriah was dead, she mourned for him. When the time of mourning passed, David had her brought to his palace. She became his wife, and she bore him a son. But what David had done upset the Lord. John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. You are clean already, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can accomplish nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and dries up, and such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and are burned up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit and show that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: to love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, to love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. However, because you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my word, they will obey yours too. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but they no longer have any excuse for their sin. The one who hates me hates my Father too. If I had not performed among them the miraculous deeds that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen the deeds and have hated both me and my Father. Now this happened to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. Psalm 119, 49 through 64. Zion, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. This is what comforts me in my trouble, for your promise revives me. Arrogant people do nothing but scoff at me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remember your ancient regulations, O Lord, and console myself. Rage takes hold of me because of the wicked, those who reject your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house where I live. I remember your name during the night, O Lord, and I will keep your law. This has been my practice, for I observe your precepts. Ket. The Lord is my source of security. I have determined to follow your instructions. I seek your favor with all my heart. Have mercy on me as you promised. I consider my actions and follow your rules. I keep your commands eagerly and without delay. The ropes of the wicked tighten around me, but I do not forget your law. In the middle of the night I arise to thank you for your just regulations. I am a friend to all your loyal followers and to those who keep your precepts. O Lord, your loyal love fills the earth. Teach me your statutes. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. The intentions of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue comes from the Lord. All a person's ways seem right in his own opinion, but the Lord evaluates the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So David's character is something that is a sharp contrast to Saul, and it is what endears him to the people. That's why the people trust him. He appears to be a man of character. So his character shines today as he seeks to be kind to Jonathan's son Mephibosheth. And then all of a sudden, we are plunged into the most hideous betrayal, the most awful, sordid evil with another man's wife. And it doesn't appear that Bathsheba, the woman, had much of a choice. This is the king. So King David has sex with Bathsheba, another man's wife, and she becomes pregnant. This is the worst, right? Like this is the worst it can be. And Uriah, the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba, this is no forgettable, ordinary person. We'll hear Uriah the Hittite later on will be named as one of the 30 most loyal people to the king, King David. And he had him killed because he took his wife and made her pregnant. This is pretty, pretty dark stuff for human beings. This is kind of at the low point. This is something that does catastrophic damage, as we will soon see. So David brings Uriah in from the front lines, from the battlefield, that he might, you know, have a little reprieve, go home, be with the wife. Like a total cover-up. Now Bathsheba's got to keep the secret. What a mess. Because even if this works, she has to live a lie. But the plan didn't work. Uriah's faithfulness wouldn't allow him the comfort of his wife and his home. While the Ark of the Covenant and his brothers are at war. So this whole thing would have been a scandalous humiliation for the king. The actions he took to cover it up were worse. Uriah goes back to the front lines carrying a private instruction that is his death sentence. And he gives it, and he is put on the front lines in a dangerous position to be killed, and he is killed. David had Bathsheba's husband killed because he took his wife from him, and she's pregnant. Wow. Very, very different character than trying to do something nice for Jonathan by honoring Mephibosheth. Very different character than anything we've ever seen before with David, and this. I mean, he doesn't just kind of step into something dark. He leaps head first into the darkest of dark. And then the shame has the hole being dug deeper in the cover-up. Whew, we'll have to watch how this plays out. In the Gospel of John, we're continuing with Jesus' final discussion with his friends at the last meal, the Last Supper. And we have spent a couple of days kind of pondering some of the popular statements or penetrating statements in this final talk. And we'll spend a couple more as we kind of take it all in. This is the final retelling of this. This is the last time we'll go through this story this year, so we want to pay attention to it. Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you? You can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, separation then, severed, separated from God, is like a branch being separated from a vine or a tree. Got lots of trees out here on the farm. Sometimes we have a bad storm come through. Sometimes a branch breaks off. Sometimes the branch is as big as the tree itself. Once it gets on the ground, you can't believe how much, you know, space that takes up. And it looks like it's fine. It's just laying there on the ground doing fine. But like a week later, it's not doing fine. It's shriveling up. And another week, it's brown and it's dead. We're told that's kind of what being separated from God, like that's what happens. The life source fades away. The branch may look alive temporarily, but the withering and decay become quickly evident. We will never be able to navigate our lives separated like that, because we were never created for that kind of separation. And this union, this connection begins and thrives through relationship, through knowing and being known fully. So how does this union, how does it work? Jesus says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. He said, I don't call you servants. A master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are my friends. I've told you everything the Father told me. Those three, like, short sentences spoken from God, that should be humbling. Because there is a vast chasm between the concept of slavery and that of a friend. So we have an open invitation to be the friend of God. The friend of God. Servant? Slave of God? That would be fine, but friend of God is what's being said here. Friends, they spend time together. They have a common life. They speak to each other in truth. They have each other's back. They are loyal. They comfort each other. They walk through difficult things together. I mean, we could go on and on and on about what intimate friendship looks like and describing maybe that kind of a friend, if we have that kind of a friend in our lives. We have a friend in God. This is unquestionably clear in the scriptures. What may not be quite as apparent is, what kind of friend are we being to God? And then as we close things out in our reading today, Jesus offers some sobering news that kind of broadens the context for the story we are in. If the world hates you, he said, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own, if you were one of its own, if you belonged to it. But you're not part of the world anymore. I chose you to come out of the world. That's why it hates you. So the instructions here, the admonition, is less about planet Earth and more to do with the way that we participate in the world's system, the culture and society. We're carrying the light of truth within us, and light that could shine into the darkness exposes, well, what's hidden in the dark. And that works great if it's a metaphor. It's disruptive and humiliating and angering and unnerving when it happens in reality. That's for everybody. Just think about it. What is hidden in your dark that you do not want to be exposed? And how would you react toward the person who exposed it? Well, multiply that idea by billions, and we have this tangible understanding of why the darkness hates the light and why it's such a force. Shame, humiliation, right? Exposure. What if you had nothing to hide at all? Like, what if we really were children of the light? What if there were nothing to hide? Imagine the freedom in that. Because that's the freedom offered to humanity through Christ. Imagine our species, humanity, coming out of the dark and into the light. That's the offer of the gospel. And the context for this fight, the struggle that we find ourselves pulled in every direction. Darkness, light, clean, unclean. So Father, we thank you for your word. Another day, many really, really important things to be considered here. Old and New Testaments. And so as we continue our journey forward, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and let us hear and respond to what we need to understand in the scriptures as they relate to our lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well. That is where you find out. These are where you find out what's going on around here. And so do indeed check them out. Check out the resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. But check out the Wind Farm coffee and tea. All the different varieties that are roasted and sourced and sent directly to you. You can even subscribe, have a certain amount of coffee or tea sent to you each month that you will consume. Thank you for your partnership in that way. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing around here brings life and light, hope, good news to you, encouragement, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement there, well, you can hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you are in the world. If you want to call, there are a number of numbers you can use. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia, or that part of the world, 613-88-20-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. It's May 22nd. This is Steve in Northwest Arkansas. I wanted to call in with an update on the family of the young man who took his life in our community recently. His girlfriend has given birth to his daughter, and this little girl, Charlie, was born healthy and beautiful. And I just want to put her name on y'all's prayer list, that you would pray for this little girl, that God would watch over her, that he would save her and just be with her and give her a great life. The family's hurting, obviously, and struggling, and we just pray that this little girl would be sunshine in the middle of that tough situation. So if you would pray for her, I would appreciate it. And I'm going to pray, and I'm also going to lift up a couple of requests from this morning on May 22nd. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that Charlie's here, that she's beautiful and healthy. Just watch over her, Lord. Save her and keep her. Lord, I want to pray for Mark and his wife, Kim, who has breast cancer, and their four daughters. God, we pray for healing for her. We pray for just unity in that family, Lord, to be with them in this tough, tough time. Be with those four little girls. I know that Kim is a girl mom, and those girls need her, Lord. So we just lift her up to you. Pray for a request. I apologize, I didn't get the name of who called in, but they said that a friend of their daughter's named Lynette was, quote, looking for them to pray because she knew that they were religious. So, Lord, that sounds like a seeker to me, someone you're drawing to yourself. So we pray for Lynette that you would, first of all, save her, and second of all, help her through this trial of brain cancer, Lord, and if it's your will, take it away. God, you're good. Love you and thank you for this community. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. I want to respond to a few prayer requests. First is for the woman in Texas that called, and just going through a long, slow struggle with work and just her position in life right now. She lost her job with the federal government and is not making what she used to make, and is sounds like she's waiting on her pension to process. She's technically retired. So it just seems like there's a lot of practical needs that need to be met, and she's probably tired of this extended period of waiting in what feels probably a little bit like wilderness. So, Lord, we lift her up. We pray that you continue to give her her daily bread, her daily meet her daily practical needs with her financial obligations and anything else she has. And give her long faith, Lord. Just remind her of the stories in the Bible, like Joseph waited years and years and years for you to move in his life after he was sold to slavery. Just give her that zoomed out vision of your plan, and help her to surrender to your plan, whatever that may be, even though she is probably uncertain of what that is and where the end game is. We know that your end game is to restore all things. And I want to pray for the gentleman that called in for his wife, who has cancer. We pray, and they have four kids. We pray for healing for her. And for Lynette, who has brain cancer, we pray complete and total healing over this cancer, and that it would be extracted from their bodies and thrown into it.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Stan from Virginia. I'm asking for prayer for my life partner, Lynette. She, for the past 3 years, has been suffering with a lymphedema movement throughout her body that accumulates fluid in all areas of her body and makes her in pain and suffering. And I just ask for prayer. These situations have caused her to be moody and estranged from our relationship, and specifically in terms of any kind of intimacy. And I love her, and I want the best for her. So the only thing I'm doing through you, my dear brothers and sisters, is crying out for God's mercy, grace, favor, and healing hand upon her, both spiritually and also physically. For I have heard from the Lord that there is a spiritual wound that he wants to heal before he heals her physical wound. God bless you all. It's nice to reconnect with you all after so much time.
This is Jeff in Franklin. Brother Richie, we've got you. There are prayer warriors surrounding you, and God is with you walking all the way. Some verses to just carry with you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:6-7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. That's you, Richie. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has made us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's you, Richie. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your...
Hi, this is Justify now in North Carolina. It is Saturday, May 23rd, and I hope everybody is having a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. I was just sitting here and thinking about how great it is to be able to have easy access to the God of the universe. As a family, no matter where we are or what time zone that we're in, we can come to the throne of his grace. And I was thinking about years ago, I wrote a poem, and this poem has to do with this very subject, easy access to God. And I want to share it with you today. Here it goes. The power of God is readily available to the believing heart that taps in to this explosive force of the anointing that overcomes any sin. Access is available through faith in Jesus by way of the shed blood of the cross. Boldly proclaim his mighty working in you as a conduit to win the lost. And if you ever feel weak and worn, drained by Satan's blatant attack, rise up, dear one, in the power of the Spirit and take all your goods back. For there is more to you than meets the eye. A greater power lies within. You're equipped with heavenly artillery, mighty through God to the pulling down of sin. Tap into the power of the Spirit, a resource that will always be there. Experience the almightiness of God, access through faith and prayer. God bless you, dabbers. Let's continue taking advantage of the easy access that we have to God. God bless you. Love you all.
Hey, Dabbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia, and I just wanted to pray for Eyes of a Dove. Eyes of a Dove, it reminds me so much of my situation several years ago. We are so much in bondage by some of these companies, and they literally make us sick. It reminds me of the Israelites whenever they were being led out of Egypt and how they struggled with, you know, their desires to go back into bondage. And God never intended for us to be in bondage. He loves us. And God God provided for me when I went to nursing school. I didn't have a job for a year and a half, and he provided for me in ways that I never imagined, and never missed a mortgage payment, never missed a meal, never missed a utility. Just provided for me so beautifully in ways I never thought were possible. So I'm going to lift you up in prayer, dear sister. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would be with eyes of a dove as she plans and prepares to leave her job and help her husband with his business. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would just be with them and make them very successful and prosperous. We love you. We trust you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. And just remember, dear sister, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He loves you. He wants to provide for you. Trust in him, and I promise you, he will provide for you in ways you never imagined. Love you, Dabbers. Love you, Brian. Love you, Jill. Have a wonderful, blessed day.